Reno stepping straight to it and being like, get out of my way.
So good. So good. So
I'm
energized.
I'm literally going to just play songs today that I want to do in my next karaoke. I want to drop this. So, like, it's so hot.
Even though you can't go there.
I can't, but I'm
vocally. Love it. Sklar Brothers here. This is View from the Cheap Seats. Our guest on the show today has a new podcast project with one of our favorite comedians out there, Anthony Jeselnik.
And he's fantastic. Really
the Jeselnik Rosenthal Vanity Project.
Vanity Project. Used to be the Rosenthal Jeselnik Vanity Project.
But now
but
it's
I think the Jeselnik
Rosenthal. But Rosenthal is an NFL pundit. NFL.com. He's been
Greg Rosenthal. He's awesome. He knows his stuff. And
we're in the thick of it. We'll talk about Le'Veon Bell landing spots. We'll talk about the new.
Talk about what's happened to the Patriots. We'll talk about Fat Matricia.
And we'll talk about how you can't tackle a quarterback, and a Packers fan made a beautiful video about that. All those things with him, we'll try and touch on that. But first, you know, the big story that kind of came out of this weekend was not that we were name-checked on a Fox broadcast by Tim Brando.
Holy smokes!
For just being up in the booth in Michigan.
Just tell that story just briefly, Jeff.
So our buddy John Eubacon, who's a tremendous author, we'll have him on the show. He took us up to the booth because he knows Tim Brando, who's you know, essentially one of the greatest, sort of longest running voices in college football. When I hear his voice, I just think college football. So much so that we did an episode of Cheap Seats where we poked fun at him, and he had a great sense of humor about it, just like Floor Wax. It's why I love this guy.
Floor Wax turned all of our hilarious, what I think is hilarious jibes into like friendly what you do to give your
friend
shit.
Which is what Brando did as well. And so we come up in the booth. Bacon's like, you want to go up to the booth to see Brando? Middle of the broadcast, fourth quarter at the 14 and a half minute mark. Michigan scores a touchdown. They're going to break. And Brando says, on air, Spencer Tillman, it's become a who's who in the booth here. The Sklar twins, which he kept calling the Sklar twins, which made me feel like we're 7 years old. The Sklar twins are the epic hosts of Cheap Seats on ESPN. He said, they're here. McCaffrey loves it, the touchdown. Dan Dierdorf loves it. The Sklar twins. John Bacon's going to write a book about it. It was really funny. Got a lot of laughs, and he was so great. And then he came out and saw our stand-up show later that night, which
and bought merch. Oh, my God. Thank you to everyone who came out and saw the shows. We just did Harbaugh's podcast. We'll have him on the podcast, too. Yep. We met Dan Dierdorf. Dan Dierdorf is going to Hall of Famer, St. Louis guy, grew up in Canton, Ohio, which is where our mom grew up, went to Michigan. We have so many connections with Dierdorf. We'll talk about that.
But I think the story of the week was really Tiger Woods. And the fact that Tiger won his first tournament since 2013, I believe, and obviously really in this season of Tiger sort of making strides towards winning a tournament.
Leading the British Open on a Sunday, down the stretch, really had a shot at the PGA in St. Louis until Brooks Koepka just
went off the page.
Went all Tiger on him.
But this was his first tournament, and he led on Thursday, led on Friday, led Saturday, took it on home on Sunday in old-school Tiger form. Mm-hmm. He kind of wavered at the end, had a couple bogeys on 15, 16, or 16, 17, and then he nailed the putt, raised his arms, and started crying. Because, you know, he knows the journey he made, Randy.
He knows how far he had to come.
He came from that bed, and I'm not talking about a hospital bed. I'm talking about a bed with a woman who worked at Perkins.
That's right.
No, but he came back from a long, 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 long time off from being atop the leaderboard, in control, in charge. He knows the journey he made and how people said it would be impossible with back fusions and whatnot. You know, I think we cannot undersell what a huge accomplishment it is. Mm-hmm. I think at the same time, we cannot say Tiger is back.
No.
Yeah, I think it'd be premature, and it would do a disservice to how great golf has become because of Tiger.
Yeah.
You don't get a Brooks Koepka unless you have a Tiger.
Let me ask you this. Who wins Comeback Player of the Year? Is it Tiger or Serena?
I think Tiger didn't
have a baby. He had an emotional baby.
I think it's Tiger because I think Serena didn't have to come back from so far. Serena's choice to step out was voluntary, and Serena's, you know, she left on top of the game. Tiger really has been down, down, down. And for him to come back and suddenly be on leaderboards and suddenly be there on Sundays, I mean, it does wonders for golf. Viewership goes way up. People who don't care about golf are suddenly caring about golf. It becomes a lead story on SportsCenter when there's football and college football out there. It brings golf to the forefront. And as we're heading into probably the greatest golf event of the year, the Ryder Cup is my favorite. Is it every 2 years?
Olé. I think it's every couple of years.
Couple of years.
It shows you how little we know about
this. This is in Europe. This is taking place in Europe. It's the United States against Europe.
Yeah.
And this is one of those times where you feel jingoistic. This is one of those times where guys who
wear tablecloths and go running on the essentially tablecloth t-shirts and go, or, you know, golf shirts and go running all over the green disrespectfully. This is where champagne gets popped. People start chanting ole, ole, ole. It is a good time, and so I'm actually extraordinarily excited about this coming up, and there's a little bit of excitement about Tiger coming back. Is he a part of it?
Yeah.
You think he's a part of it?
I do.
So here's what I say, Jay, and I say, hold on a second. I say what he's built and what he's done to come back from all the things, those tears were earned. You know, I mean, I think a lot of what Tiger did leading up to this point in his life was, first of all, when he was a young kid, it was orchestrated by his father. Yeah. From the time he was three and on Johnny Carson to, like, literally his life later, really until he kind of fell out of grace, it was orchestrated. And the stuff that wasn't orchestrated was him banging Perkins waitresses in church parking lots. That was the unorchestrated stuff. And that ultimately got him in trouble. And I think because his life was so orchestrated, it had to leak out somewhere else. That's why we said on this show episodes ago that he needed a gap year to go to, like, Holland and go watch sex shows with horses and stuff and just kind of get it all out of his system. The thing is, I say, hold on. I love the moment because I thought those tears were earned because he made it all the way back and won a very significant tournament. But I say, hold on, because I am not ready to crown him that he's back and he's on top of the whole golf world because this tournament had only a smaller pool of people in it.
And still had some big names in it.
Definitely had big names, Jay. But I think this pool had was a smaller pool of people. And what that does is, in the Masters, in the PGA, in the British Open, in the U.S. Open, what you have is the course kind of levels the playing field. I'd say the top 100 guys.
Any one of those guys could have the weekend
like
of their lives.
Matty Kuchar, who's a guy who I met in Hawaii. Great golf. He'll probably be on the U.S. Ryder Cup team. Yeah. It's going to be close. He's a great golfer. He's probably in the top 50, maybe, in earning and whatnot. He could get hot for 4 days and come out of nowhere. Now, no one's talking about him. You're talking about Jordan Spieth. You're talking about Brooks Koepka. You're talking about, you know, Webb Simpson, I guess, or you're talking about Bryson DeChambeau and all these other guys who are kind of at the top of their game, John Rahm and whatnot. What you're not talking about is the dark horse of a Matty Kuchar who can come in. And so when the field is bigger, I think anyone in the top 100 can win, and it allows for more people to take that shot and do that. And so, you know, I just think I'm really happy for Tiger Woods, but I also think, listen, you know, let's not go crazy on crowning him at this point because I want to see more, you know. I want to see him win a bunch of regular tournaments. I want to see him win majors that are, you know, I want to see him come from behind and win a major. Like, he led this tournament from the beginning. And again, a smaller field.
Look, who knows what the next chapter is? I mean, Tiger's a win away from tying Nicklaus. Am I right to say that? Yeah. A major win away.
Mm-hmm.
He's won 80 tournaments. That's an unbelievable feat.
Of course. I mean, most of them were at the beginning.
But still.
The Ryder Cup is biennial, as you had mentioned.
Biennial, as I mentioned. So as we head into that this weekend, Tiger Woods, definitely an emerging story in the world of golf.
Yeah, let's see how he does in the Ryder Cup. If he really makes a difference in the Ryder Cup and he actually leads the United States, puts him on his back, puts him on his fused-up back and leads them into the promised land.
Golf is a game of streaks, and there's moments where you start to get into a groove and you stop thinking and you just start hitting. And Tiger's still a strong dude. I mean, that's what's amazing, and that's why I think it's not impossible to think that he can win a major. Because you look at Jack Nicklaus when he was 47 and he won the Masters.
He looked like a 47-year-old dad.
He looked like a 57-year-old guy now. Mm-hmm. Tiger looks like a 38-year-old guy.
Yeah, so it goes 10-year swing either way.
So Tiger's only 44, 45.
Yeah.
So Tiger
looks about 10 years younger.
Right. And Nicholas looked about 10 years older. That's just a function of how people trained in the 80s.
That's how good Nicholas was, man.
But that's how good Nicholas was, or how bad, out of shape the field was, or whatever. But I think what you have now is tougher, stiffer competition, but you have Tiger in good shape.
Jay's ready to crown him. I'm not ready to necessarily crown him,
but hey,
you know what we're going to do?
What?
We're going to talk to Tiger Woods later.
Let's find out what he
says. We'll find out what's up. I queued this clip up. Let's play this. Hold on. I'm going to play this out to break as we talk about this right now.
Lamar Jackson was defending. Lamar Jackson, number 21, a little downfield.
This is our mention, and we'll take this to break.
Once he got those hips open after a nice chuck.
Tim Brando mentioning us on the field.
Yeah,
on the broadcast.
There is something beautiful.
Here we go.
And made him wide open. You talk about throwing an assistant player open. Man, he didn't intend for that to happen, but Bell gets in. Wow.
Spencer, it's become a who's who in the booth.
Oh, how about that, man?
The Sklar twins have made their way in.
I see them, man.
The epic hosts of Cheap Seats and cameo appearances in major motion pictures. McCaffrey liked it. Deerdorf liked it. The Sklar twins. I think John U. Bacon's going to write a book about it. He's in the booth, too. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, welcome back to View from the Cheap Seats. Before we get to our guest, I want to mention, we'll mention this later too, we have new shirts.
Yep.
Punch Waterfall t-shirts. Go to fluffycrate.com/sklar. You will see those. These shirts are amazing. We took them to Ann Arbor this past weekend and they were flying out. It almost looks like the Run the Jewels fist punching a waterfall because, as we say...
And we'll have hats up there, too, by the way.
Punch waterfall hats, which are going to be dope, too. But I'm just going to say they are...
Let's be nice to each other.
Don't punch each other.
Don't punch your spouse unless you want a job at Ohio State. You know what I mean?
Don't do that.
That's not fair.
That isn't fair.
Unless you want to be protected by the administration of Ohio State and the fan base.
And
Ezekiel Elliott's father.
Sure. But...
Waterfall.
Punch a waterfall's not going to punch you back.
A squirrel's not going to pop out and start yelling World Star and record it.
You're good. That's all we're saying. This t-shirt and these hats reflect it. Let's get to our guest. He's so great. I want to talk about every issue I have with the NFL. He has a new podcast. Greg Jewish Name Rosenthal.
Two G's.
Two G's, baby.
Two G's on the end of that,
Double
Greg,
G,
right?
Are we right?
Triple G, really.
Triple G.
60% G.
Golovkined it.
Like, That's my rap name.
You Golovkined it.
You did. Triple G. Welcome to the show. You have a great new podcast, the Jeselnik Rosenthal Vanity Project.
And it used to be...
RVP.
Is it? And it was the Rosenthal Jeselnik Vanity Project prior, but...
It was.
You now had to
back.
Like...
Now it's back.
You had to completely erase the whiteboard on that and then come back with a completely reconstructed Jeselnik Rosenthal Vanity Project. And I get that.
Well, we were at the NFL with the first one, and now we're at Comedy Central on Anthony's turf. Although it really was about three episodes into the first edition that we did, which was 3 years ago, that he said, if we do a season two, we're changing the name. It just bothered him every
day. That makes sense.
You changed it the right thing.
Oh my God, what an NFL season we're into right now.
Already?
It's the year of Baker.
Baker Mayfield.
Is he legit?
It was on ESPN on like kind of their front page or whatever. The shot of him, and I know he just kind of standing there. He even had like the ball up and one hand down, and the camera was right on it after he caught that touchdown pass. And I was like, this dude's a star.
I'm so in. Like,
this dude's a fucking star.
Because of moments like that. During the post-game show, you know what convinced me there's no way that his career is going to go poorly? Colleen Wolf, who is the host of the post-game friend, she's asking him a question.
You dropped something.
Deep question.
That was Colleen Wolf. Yeah, that's a name.
Pretty deep question about like Antonio Callaway, a wide receiver on the team. And Baker is answering the question very intelligently about Antonio's strengths and weaknesses while he's cutting a cake with one hand, which takes some wrist strength in general.
And some accuracy.
Right, and just coordination, and holding the mic in the other hand, and is just like the most relaxed guy ever. Confidence oozes out. And oh, by the way, like, I watched all his preseason and, you know, that performance, and he just looks amazing. It was insane he didn't start week one to begin with.
I feel like Cleveland couldn't just necessarily do that, but then they were like, we don't have a choice. Well, Tyrod Taylor's great. He's a good quarterback. He's a good backup. You have the franchise. You have the future. Throw him in hot water. He's going to have some off weeks this year. He's going to have some down weeks, but I'm telling you right now, Cleveland with Baker Mayfield firing on all cylinders, could win 6 or 7 games this year.
I almost feel like Cleveland.
That's underdoing it. Are you being? Are you being sarcastic?
I'm being fair.
I think they can think about the playoffs.
Really?
Why not?
They got a good defense. They got a good defense.
NFL's crazy, and their defense is playing really well.
I just moved their defense into my fantasy defense. I had them as my backup fantasy defense.
That tells you where it's at. I mean, that doesn't lie. When you need to rely, you can pick any team. Like in Cleveland, your defense is your defense. You can't go out and get the Eagles' defense if you're coaching in Cleveland.
Right.
You need them to do it. I'm saying for Jason to put him in the slot.
They're playing the Raiders this week, so that makes sense to me.
Yeah,
but they look great on defense, and Baker Mayfield, I think, makes that big of a difference, and they have that much talent. I'm not ruling out playoffs.
He makes all the throws, dude. He makes short throws. He makes touch passes. He zings it in when he has to zing it in. He can move outside the pocket. I mean, I think we could be watching a Russell Wilson-esque year.
Yes. I mean, and what you said, that he doesn't give a fuck. He came out there, and he was just, like, ready to go. There was no hesitation. He's firing the ball in there.
Spinning it really well, a crisp ball, routes are being run. You know, you start to say, okay, maybe this team has something. And they don't have to. The beauty is, it's almost like the 49ers at the end of last year when they were, like, playing with house money. They're like, our season's over. It doesn't fucking matter. We're going to. And they won 5 in a row. And then you say to yourself, okay, that's the way Cleveland fans are. They were 0-16 last year. If they win 6 or 7 games,
they'll build a statue.
Right. And there's hope moving forward.
Yeah, they're going in the right direction.
They're going in the right direction.
He thinks they're going to make the playoffs. What about Le'Veon Bell? Who loses in that situation if he goes to the Jets, say?
Well, Le'Veon Bell loses if he goes to the Jets.
Because he held out and they were like, we don't need you anymore.
And just, I don't know if that's a good place for him long term. I don't think they're going to end up trading him because I don't think any team's going to give up enough to get him, and Pittsburgh will just figure, why bother? And if I'm Pittsburgh, there's a part of me that would think, like, if you're in the front office, is it the worst thing to get a healthy Le'Veon Bell in week 9 while we're going to try to win a Super Bowl? It's very annoying, and they don't like him personally, but he's always been hurt in the playoffs. You have James Conner in the meantime. Is that, like, the worst thing ever?
Are you an EPL, you know, Premier League fan?
Somewhat. I'm a fake West Ham fan, okay, but it's very weak.
If you watch it all, the EPL, there's a moment, and I don't think, like, American sports fans can truly appreciate this or understand this, where, like, one of your best players is on the bench, and then he comes in the 69th minute, and you're like, why wasn't this guy playing the whole game?
And then he gets 3 touches in, like, two chances.
Scores, and you say to yourself, oh, because you want him fresh when the other team is not fresh, and then you bring him in. Kind of like Brady last year. He misses the first 4 games, and then he was firing on all cylinders at the end of the year when you needed him to.
And Le'Veon Bell's been hurt in the playoffs. I can remember the Patriots game 2 years ago, the AFC Championship game. Yeah. He's worn down usually. And he and his agent knew it was Pittsburgh's plan to just give him 475 touches this year, wear him out, and never sign him again. And so they're avoiding that.
So pretty coy for them. I mean, when you think about it, yeah, he made $12 million last year. But if I were to tell you what Le'Veon Bell, and you know, I'm sure you know, he made like $300,000 the first year, $400,000, $900,000, whatever it was way less than what he was way undervalued.
Yeah.
So much so that if you amortize the $12 million that he made over the first 3 seasons, he's still way undervalued and underpaid.
This is how I know I'm on like a Jewish podcast. Amortization is up early.
You're not going to hear that. You're going to hear that shit anywhere else.
Exactly.
Amazing. But we mentioned the Patriots real quickly. Can we just say what is happening right now with the Patriots? Is it did Josh Gordon take all of the
good juju?
Cleveland losing juju and just drop it? Speaking of Jews, like just dump it into. I mean, I was amazed because we were at Michigan down on the field. I just dropped that.
I saw that. That was impressive. Weren't you in the box? They had you in the
box?
We just
played the clip of Brando mentioning us. But we were down
it's
on the
best.
Amazing. Down on the field, and we talked to, as we were going to the stadium, we talked to the guy who's the team doctor for Michigan, also the team doctor for
the Lions.
Okay.
And we're talking to him, and we're like,
he's like,
you guys want to go to the game tomorrow? And we're like, we're leaving town. And our buddy Mark, who's there, was like, I can't tomorrow. He's like, I have to go, and it is going to be a bloodbath. He's like, I don't want to go. And he works for the Lions. He's like, this is going to be terrible. And then look what happens. Now, is that fat Patricia, like, just knowing his old team so well? Or is it what's happening to the Patriots at this point?
Patricia's a factor. He made Jimmy G look pretty bad the week before, even though it didn't show up in the box score.
Right.
If you watch that game, he did not look good. But the Patriots are not necessarily going to bounce back like they always do. I'm a Patriots fan.
Okay.
And every time they have one of these issues, you know, starts the season, I'm always the one that says, don't worry about it. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to come back.
Because you, know they will.
Because you looked at the offense and you looked at what they had and you know that offense wins in the
you
NFL.
You still have Tom Brady and you still have Gronk.
And you still have Bill Belichick. I just think Patriots fans should get used to living how other teams live. That doesn't mean they're not going to make the playoffs and that they don't figure it out by November, December. In the end, that's kind of all that matters for the Patriots.
If you're 10-6, if you're 11-5,
I mean.
You still make the playoffs.
And all the and if they could be peaking at that point and kind of figure things out, but you're throwing a Cordarrelle Patterson and Philip Dorsett, and the only way that works is if you have a much better defense, which as a fan, I was very optimistic about going into this season, and that has not been happening.
So what do you attribute that to?
Injuries last week, partly Trey Flowers, Patrick Chung, a couple other people.
Chung is one of my favorite players.
Oh, yeah.
He's just unexpected.
There's also, like, no other, my kids are half Asian, so it's nice to have, like, a half Asian guy out there.
Was Hines Ward?
Hines Ward, half Korean. Adopted or something? Yeah. I don't know.
Patrick Chung to me is like
that's more you're there. You're fully talking about an Asian man in the NFL.
Yeah, you see him and you're a little confused at first, but he wears it proudly. I think they can get better on defense. Belichick went into the season really excited about the defense, and he doesn't really, you know, exhibit excitement about much of anything. So that made me optimistic. I think long term they'll get better, but it's gonna be more like the mid-2000s where they're winning games like 23-21 and they're gonna have to get some good vibes.
But listen to me, they're in their division, typical foes that they used to win both games against, Miami's 3-0. Now, is that to be believed? I don't know.
This week is a big game in week four, which
a reckoning for Miami.
But I don't mind it. It's kind of exciting to have a big game in week four.
It's
that usually doesn't
exciting.
Happen yes. as a fan. And like this game matters. It's a good test for them. Hopefully, I think they'll get it done, the Patriots, that is. And
because Miami's going up to Foxborough.
They're going up to Foxborough. Okay. But they always give the Patriots problems. They kicked the Patriots' ass at the end of last year.
They did.
I want to talk about Saquon Barkley because I do think he's making an impact. I just think the Giants are so bad that they can't. Like Leonard Fournette came in the league and made a difference.
And you were like, oh,
Zeke
shit.
Ezekiel Elliott came in the league and made a difference for that team.
Ezekiel Elliott came in the league, and again, you're talking about two Michigan guys, so to praise, he is a St. Louis guy, but to praise a former Ohio State player, this hurts.
Especially one with that dad.
Oh, fucking idiot. The whole point about Ezekiel Elliott, like, he made Dak Prescott a better, he made his job a zillion times easier.
Yeah.
So it just, to me, is like Saquon Barkley, he's doing the best that he can, and he's doing actually pretty well, but it's not helping.
Like 20 catches for like 40 yards.
Right. There were a lot of negative runs the first couple weeks, but the Texans game, they looked like a pretty good offense. I've been on the Eli Manning is
you know,
vastly overrated and being carried along.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
I don't think he should be, but
he
will be, so it doesn't, fighting against it is pointless.
I mean, Brad Johnson is not a Hall of Famer. Let's just say that right now. Trent Dilfer is not a Hall of Famer. They each won once, and it took, like, great defenses.
Jim Plunkett won a couple Super Bowls, did he?
And
he's at least won one. He's not a Hall of Famer. I don't think
Doug
Eli
Williams,
Manning is.
Doug Williams dominated in a Super Bowl. He won't be a Hall of Famer.
Eli Manning was only one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league a couple times, like only a top 5 quarterback once. But Saquon last week, and they protected Eli, he got rid of the ball. Saquon had a great game against Houston, and I think it's coming. Like they're starting to figure out how to use him.
Yeah, and I actually think that division's kind of wide open. Bless you. Kind of wide open. You know what I mean? Like Dallas isn't as dominating as I thought they'd be coming in. I thought they'd be a little more dominating than they are.
They look terrible. They're tough to watch.
They're tough to watch. The
Redskins look pretty good.
Redskins, I mean, the reemergence or the revival of Adrian Peterson. I mean, he's knocking the scrotum out of that one. Hey.
I remember being called at like 12:30 at night about 3 years ago, I think. At the time I was running, I was like had a more managerial role. Like I was helping to run the news desk. So when Adrian Peterson beat his son and was arrested for it, like I would be the one who got to call in the middle of the week.
In the middle of the night.
That was one of the moments, honestly, that I was like, I can't do this job anymore. So I thank Adrian. It was too bad, you know, for his son, but I thank Adrian for that.
Better for you.
So he comes back. I mean, there's surprises the other way. Like, what are the Vikings doing? you say to yourself, man, I thought they were going to be better. And Kirk Cousins is, in my opinion, an upgrade even from Case Keenum. We said Kirk Cousins is...
like the name brand Case Keenum.
You know, like Case Keenum is sort of
like tortilla chips.
Is the play the
and he is like Doritos.
Serviceable, but this guy's like the, you know, Tostitos.
Yeah, that's a great call. And he looked pretty great the first 2 weeks. He made a lot of tough throws. And his game last week against the Bills was embarrassing.
Surprising. You're like, where the Bills?
I feel like people were talking about the Bills and some of the college radio stations, like they're taking credit for it. They're like, everyone's like, I think the Crimson Tide could beat the Bills.
Right.
People were talking about like Alabama beating the Bills. And I think the Bills heard that and they're like, we're going to stomp on someone. So you put that to rest.
But it's always a silly conversation when they say that about college teams. Any NFL team would destroy it. These are grown men. And the Bills came after Kirk Cousins, but a lot of it was on him. He missed throws by like 10, 15 yards. Yeah. Kirk Cousins has this thing where he's like a top 10 type of quarterback most of the time, but about three times a year,
he's just like, where are you and what are you doing?
When the game starts going downhill, like
he can't right the ship.
Right. He's just going to crumble and fall down. And that
so
was one
Vikings
of those
fans are like, we don't like that. We don't like that.
And no Bills retired at halftime. So I think that's also a plus.
That was a plus.
By the way, we talked about this last week. This was the top of our show last week. I'm like, I love how much shit that guy got. Vontae Davis, I love how much shit he got for, like, they were making fun of him on the NFL.
When you say
you
love it, you're being sarcastic.
I'm saying
you don't love it.
I don't love how much shit he got because I read his response in his Instagram and whatever. I was like, that's a really well thought out. Yeah, maybe you should have said, take me out of the game. I'm not feeling that well. And then afterwards saying, like, look, I can't go on because of medical issues. He could have done the optics of it better. But his attitude about wanting to be around with his kids and whatnot, if you're a Hall of Famer, you say to yourself, football's hard. Look at how hard it is. This guy quit in the middle and he's a really good player. It was a former All-Pro for 2 years. It's hard. It should make you feel better about yourself. Don't make fun of the guy.
Obviously, you don't want to quit at halftime, but it took a level of
But why not?
Because you're surrounded by these guys that, in theory, you're friends with or that you've been working with.
Who
and you don't want to.
Who cares? There's another guy.
Be his fucking friend. But be his friend and stop
I'm
sitting
you.
There and your friend's sick. Your friend's hurt. If we have a friend who's a comedian on stage and in the middle of the set, they realize, I can't do this anymore, and they walk off and they're supposed to do 30 minutes of your show and you're following them and they do 10 minutes. You walk on stage, you do your set,
then you come afterwards,
back
and you're like, are you okay?
Right? Are you okay?
That's fair. There's nothing worse than a friend that if you make a big decision that's hard to make, like you're going to move out of town or something like that, that they're like, oh, why don't you stay? No, I'm making a tough decision. That was what I was going to say about Vontae Davis. Even if you don't like how he did it, like that took guts to do that in the middle of the game, to have that much conviction and just go to your coach and say, sorry.
A lot. You know who you are. You know who you are. To me, it's the same. It's a different type of guts, but it's this. I mean, obviously, it has a different global implication, but it's Kaepernick guts. It's the guts to go against the grain, do this thing that could damage your
image.
Go
against the culture.
Go against culture. It's a big move.
I'm not allowed to talk about Kaepernick as an NFL employee. So
for real?
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
what are you kneeling?
And then if I wasn't allowed,
why are you
to talk,
kneeling right now?
Yeah, I would really have trouble.
All right, so
so
Garoppolo, do we know the final on him? Is he completely
ACL?
Done for the year?
Yeah.
Okay.
His ex-girlfriend just tweeted karma.
Yeah.
Or Instagram the word karma.
Shut up! Are you kidding me?
Wait, is this true?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if you want to do that.
Yeah.
You know
what? She got a great deal out of that.
But
wasn't she looking for publicity and it all worked out fine?
There you go.
I just got mentioned on our podcast. Yeah.
But do the Niners even? I know this is going to sound just crazy,
but he's been in their market. He has.
Did the Niners? And that's a market that is progressive and thoughtful and would give credit to. This isn't like Jacksonville. This isn't, you know, Tennessee. Did they even consider Kaepernick? Did they even consider bringing him on? Because to me, I'm like, why not?
What do you have to lose?
They should. I mean, he's better than C.J. Beathard, and I think it'd be interesting in a Kyle Shanahan offense. I don't think they will. I don't think there's any chance that they will. I think
why?
Because if they would have made him the backup. I mean, he should be on a roster. I don't think you're going to bring him in and just make him the starter at this point because that's just NFL teams think. And John Lynch does not seem like the guy to do it. The way he's talked about him. He should be, obviously, he should be on a roster. It's crazy he's not like Cam Newton's backup or Russell Wilson's backup.
Yeah.
Two teams where it make total sense, but I don't think they'll take that seriously.
All right, so the Rams are legit.
It's Rams. Even crazier, by the way, that Eric Reed doesn't have a job. I actually think that's been under the radar. That's even more egregious.
We've talked about that. 26 years old, the guy's
an above-average safety. Like an above-average starting player who's coming off the best stretch of his career at the
just
end of
because
last year.
He protested the, you know, not even, the, he's not protesting the anthem, he's protesting
police
brutality.
Yeah, I'm sick of people calling it anthem protest.
It's not an anthem protest.
It is a protest of police treatment of African Americans across this country that happens to happen during the anthem.
If you love this country, you allow the protest. And those who are disallowing the protest or calling it an anthem protest, you're the ones who are not patriots. You're the ones who are fucking up this country. And so step back and step off. Sorry. We'll get off our soapbox. But Rams are legit. Legit.
Yes.
Like, Jared Goff, never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that he could improvise at all. I thought, like,
I picked up Robert Woods, man. That dude went off.
I said, perfect
guy.
Guy in a McVay system, perfect guy in the system to run. They tailored an offense to his skills. I was like, if you take him out of that and put him somewhere else, I don't know how he does. But
it doesn't matter. That's a good thing. In football, like, you can never take away the quarterback from the coach and the system. And that was the big talk last week, is Jared Goff like a system quarterback, which is insulting to him. And it was a stupid week to bring it up because he was coming off a game in week two where he's starting to make throws. You mentioned it.
Improvising a little bit.
Where he's outside the pocket where pressure is on him and he's delivering. And he's not Tom Brady, but that's one of the characteristics you love to see in a young quarterback more than anything, is being able to move in the pocket and still make plays. Just kind of that 1 foot to the side, 2 foot, and he's getting great at that. He looks so much better this year.
Well, the defensive linemen, what I've seen just in the last few years, are so big and so fast. What a pocket trick, so to speak, is to let them run by you. They're going to try and let the linemen push them out and push the pocket behind you, and so you can step up, and he's making all those plays. I think he is, you know, there was a point where I was like, Carr's actually a better quarterback than he is. But now I'm like, he's outplaying him. He's really outplaying him and making better throws. And
well, he's got a better team to play on.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you put Carr in L.A., I don't know.
Maybe.
Who knows? He's more physically talented, but that might not be the right mix of what McVay wants. McVay likes Kirk Cousins a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, he likes these
moldable guys.
Kind of these point guards. Mm-hmm. You know, that's I'm not going to name drop, but I know a guy who, you know, was thinking of drafting Jared Goff and has always believed in him. And he thought he was like that ultimate point guard especially as he gets older and gets smarter in the NFL, he's going to get better.
We think about it in terms of, you know, anytime we're pitching something or comedy or whatnot, or even acting when you're in a show, if you know your lines, if you just know them so well, if you know the offense so well, then it's in the back of your brain, and then you can improvise. You're on stage. We know the bit that we're about to do so well. Get on stage. Have fun with it. Then you're actually like, you're
in the
moment.
It does
slow down for you. You're in the moment, but because you've done so, he seems like a kid that preps really well or is prepped really well.
You guys have some nice voices. You know, nice. I'm jealous of like your voiceover.
You sound like Rivers. I kind of sound like Rivers Cuomo.
Like the typical kind of Jew, like the small Jew. Like when people see our other voices around the NFL podcast, like some we've been doing like a Twitter show, and when they see us, a lot of times their reaction to the other guys is like, "Oh, you don't sound, you know what I thought you sounded like." But when they see me, they're like, "You look exactly what I thought."
You are, to quote Danny Green, "You are who we
you
thought you
are
were.
Who thought we were." We could ready to crown your ass as a Jew. We're ready to horn your ass.
As a Jew. One more question, then we'll go to break because we could talk to you forever. But is it the Eagles and everyone else?
I don't know if it's the Eagles and everyone else.
No.
You're asking that question?
No.
Absolutely not.
They don't look the same. It's early, but even when they got Wentz back last week, they're so not explosive.
Right.
They don't make any big plays. And all the things that were helping Nick Foles go crazy at the end of last season are not in place right now.
But their defense is great,
but they got to figure out the running game and they got to figure out their receivers, and they lost a couple coaches, one to Minnesota, one to Indianapolis, and just it doesn't look like a great offense right now.
The NFC is a little more,
I mean, Matt Ryan went off last week and that was insane.
Right. And Drew Brees looks like he looked at the end of last season, which is better than ever. People always talk about, you know, our guy Tom Brady and like what he's done to stay ageless, but Brees is like 39 right now, isn't he? And he's playing at that level. But I think it's the Rams are going to be there at the end. Mm-hmm. And then there's like four or five other teams that all seem like they could be in the mix. The Rams are the only one I'd be shocked if they're not in the mix.
Rams will be there in the NFC, but the AFC, who I mean, Pittsburgh will be in it, maybe.
Maybe. I'm not counting any. I'm not.
Jacksonville?
I trust Jacksonville will be in.
Because their defense is in good
at the end.
Travel.
Kansas City's offense, I think, will be too good to fall off too much in that division.
Mahomes.
Not,
I mean, Mahomes is like, where did he come from?
Insane.
If I.
Tells you how good Andy Reid is.
If you could draft someone or take anyone that was in the last two classes, so that includes Mahomes, Watson, mm-hmm. but Baker too, mm-hmm. Darnold, like, I think I might take Mahomes.
So
Baker and Mahomes would be my two, yeah. basically. Those so would be my two.
So here's why, and this we'll go to break on this, and then we'll come back and we have some quick hits. Here's why I think the NFL is in good shape. Because we're sitting here, and we talk about this with the NBA all the time.
Yeah,
the NBA is exciting for the regular season and for part of the playoffs. In that, you got teams like Utah. You got teams like Denver even have a good talent there. You last year had the Cavs and not anymore, but now the Lakers. Houston is good. I mean, you have a lot of cities that go into the season with a lot of hope. Now we're like almost in the fourth of the way through the NFL season. And like you said, we don't know who's going to be there at the end. Plus, you have the underside of teams that have sucked for a long time that have
new guys.
Hope in Sam Darnold for the Jets, hope in Baker Mayfield. So there's like a lot of ways in which people can sort of recalibrate their hope for what their season will be. So a lot of excitement about it. We don't know who is it. The NBA, I can tell you the Golden State Warriors right. are going to win already. They're going to win. We don't even have to play. They're going to win. Like, I can't tell you who's going
to
win.
But it'll be fun to watch LeBron and the Lakers.
Right.
It'll be fun
but
to
like
watch
week three
the
is a good example. A lot of teams that you already thought were maybe practically done. Seattle has a great game. Buffalo has a great game. Detroit has a great game. This is one of those years. I think the NFL goes in cycles. In the last couple of years, it's actually been fairly stable at the top of the league, and that never lasts
you
very
knew you
long.
Were
and this
see
feels
Pittsburgh
like a year
and right. Denver and
the Patriots.
And the Patriots.
This feels like a year where it's just like blow it up, and who knows? The Ravens could be in the mix. The Bengals, like I don't know. It doesn't. There's about 10, 12 teams. There's
Tampa
not many
teams.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa
Fitz
Bay.
Fitzmagic.
That comeback, even though they didn't complete it, was magic. It was great. Cool.
I also don't think he'll keep the job, though. I think they'll go to James.
Go back to
Winston. Eventually.
They'll
let him play it out.
They got to go to Winston. All right. Let's take a break. Shall we?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Rosenthal in the motherfucking house. Greg Rosenthal has got a new podcast, or it's kind of like a revamping of an old podcast on Comedy Central. It's new. Anthony Jeselnik called the
Jeselnik
Rosenthal Vanity Project. Check it out. We'll come back on the other side of this and do quick hits. Slip and slide getting loose. More punch than your bowl of juice. And ain't nobody more jiggy than us. Stuff so rough. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. As we mentioned, we're going to be in Denver next weekend. We're going to be in Boulder on Wednesday night doing a show at the Dairy Arts Center, which is a beautiful place to do a show. We need to sell tickets, so get your asses out there. We'll make fun of every Bronco out there if we can, and we'll spend hours talking about Casa Bonita, the greatest Mexican restaurant in the world. Please come to that show, and then we'll be in Denver at one of our favorite clubs in the country, Comedy Works, which is where everyone records their
comedy albums
and albums because it's that good.
October 4th, downtown Larimer Square, October 4th, Thursday, one show, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday.
They will sell out, so please, please get your tickets for that. And let's do some quick hits, shall we, Rand? The Kawhi Leonard laugh that blew up the internet. Can you get to it, Rand? I'll get to it. And I just want to hear it. Brandon, we want to make sure we can hear this. There's like a moment where it's almost like when you see players like go up to dunk and you think they're done jumping, but then they go higher and they keep going.
Yeah, you're like Tom Chambers had a dunk where you're like, wait, is he going
How up? Is he going up after it seems like he should be going down now? That's what Kawhi Leonard, and people are freaking out because they're like, he doesn't laugh. Kawhi does not laugh, and then this was that moment where like...
Well, because Kawhi, just for the last year, has seen... I'm assuming you follow all sports. It's not just the NFL. The NFL is your specialty, but... I mean, when he went to Toronto, you were probably a little bit miffed, like, how come he's not coming to the Lakers, but that may happen.
Play this clip, Rand.
I will. I got to get to it.
So it is one of those moments where you're like, is he going to be happy in Toronto?
Maybe this isn't why he never smiles or laughs, because this is his laugh.
This is the reaction he gets.
He says, hold on, I got to get it.
Rand, you're so good with the internet.
I'm really, really good.
Do you know how to find it?
Here's the clip.
I'm impressed you can just do sound drops on your own during your own podcast.
I can't do that. Hold on. I got
to
get through this stupid fucking commercial, and then I'll get there. All right? All right, everybody. This is how it goes. I'm on YouTube. That's the way it is. You're seeing... Okay.
I'd like people to know about you.
Here we go.
I'm a fun guy.
You're selling it.
Obviously, I love the game of basketball.
Obviously.
I mean, it's just more questions you have to ask me in order for me to tell you about myself. I just can't give you a whole spiel.
Isn't it spiel? He's doing Yiddish.
I don't even know where you're sitting at.
Great moment.
That's why I would keep that under lock and key too.
I love to me, it.
Real
to,
moment.
Well, but it showed a level of goofiness that you just didn't see through that whole process where he was like stringing Pop along and didn't want
to
be
maybe he's realizing Toronto, great city,
fun,
not,
right?
Not a bad place to be compared to San Antonio. Whether it's a year or whatever, it's like
good comedy town, second city. Yeah, all those guys. All right, let's move on to this next one.
By the way, I think he just should laugh more often. And wouldn't you love him more if he laughed more often?
Yeah,
maybe
own that.
Maybe you'd not take him so seriously, and boom, he comes and gets you. Just laugh on the court
and lean in. Let's talk about the Flyers, the Philadelphia Flyers. They have a new mascot,
Philly.
His name is Jittery. What's his name right now?
Gritty.
Gritty.
Jittery would be better.
Gritty. It's like he looks like if a mascot suddenly fell on hard times and became homeless.
Which is basically anyone in the mascot suit. It's like if you took the mascot suit,
you're like, what does the guy who's inside look like?
You've seen him.
What is it? It's like if the Syracuse Orange's older brother like was doing meth, and you're like, where is he?
I don't know. We haven't seen him. Like, we haven't heard from him. He left the house without his cell phone, Vince Young style. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, we don't know where he is.
Part of me is like a little annoyed by this because there's a level of self-awareness. They knew what they were doing.
Of course.
And it's working. I mean, it's working. It's like it's all
people are talking about.
I follow a lot of people from Philadelphia. They're ready to vote this guy for mayor. Like, they are all about this
mascot. To me, it strikes me as the guy who like tells you about the time he was a Muppet in the 80s. You know what I mean? It's like always talking about the old days.
Hey, man, I was on Fraggle Rock.
We don't care. We've all heard you on Fraggle Rock. Like, that's the type of guy who's like, come here, kids, sit on my lap. And you're like, nope.
Jim Henson tickled my balls. I don't care.
I
don't care, and I've already heard that story 11 times. Yeah.
Do you have any other favorite mascots? See, mine was like the King Baby Cake. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
The New Orleans, I think, baseball minor league.
King Baby Cake.
And see, I don't think that was self-aware. That was just they made a frightening mascot by mistake.
Self-awareness is, I think, overrated. We did Jim Harbaugh's podcast. I dropped that.
Oh my God.
That is.
It's actually the Pelicans, my bad.
I love the Pelicans, and it's like, it's just a giant baby. You would see that in New Orleans. Like, you'd see a guy dressed like that in New Orleans, and you're
from
like,
Mardi Gras.
From Mardi Gras.
Like, and through the mouth of the baby, he would say to a woman, Show me your tits.
I mean, that's exactly what that is right there. Oh my God, that's disgusting.
Finally,
kind of looks like Ted Cruz.
Let's talk about this. The Royals, if you didn't love the Royals after Lord's song, if you didn't love the Royals after George Brett's shit my pants story.
Or his hemorrhoids.
You're going to love the Royals right now because they're offering, if you have season tickets for the Royals for 1 or 2 years, 80-game package down to a 25-game package, you have a chance to go into Kauffman Field, take 5 swings off a batting machine.
With
a wooden bat.
Wooden bat.
And a helmet. And if you can hit one out, your season tickets are free.
Wow.
Is that crazy?
I didn't know that. That's the best promotion I've ever heard.
I love the Royals now. I'm like, I even as a Cardinals fan from 85, had they had instant replay, we would have won the series. Whatever. I'm saying what I'm saying.
Still hurts.
I love them.
And it'll pay off because there'll be one guy who spends 45 hours a week, who's already good at baseball, honing his thing, and that
college
actually gets
it
done. It'll be like one guy, because no one's going to be able to pull this off, but one guy will be able to pull it off, everyone will be happy.
It becomes a SportsCenter moment. It's like when someone hits a half-court shot
to give one guy season
tickets. Like a half-court shot. Truthfully, like you gave away like a minivan.
But it's going to be watched, and people are going to love them. It's a great, you know, so often in this business, and you understand the NFL, there are so many bad PR moves that owners, that coaches, that players do in sports.
The NFL? Nah.
No.
Well, the NFL's made every step correctly.
We've been fine the last 5-6 years.
So it's nice to see a professional sports organization
do something
about sports that is fun and right. It feels like a promotion in the 70s for like the White Sox. Like, remember when they had shorts on? You're like, this is a new thing.
Can you do that?
The Disco Demolition Night?
Disco, well,
I would say...
Even though we know the guy who did that.
My other thing, John Dahl.
Yeah, he's a Chicago radio personality still.
That's right.
Good dude. Really good guy.
He loves Van Kirk. This is what I would say. I would love to see a promotion, and I'm just saying this once. For one game a year, and we put it somewhere in like late May, early June, you got to put a regular dude in your lineup somewhere. I mean, in the field, this is like, go back to Little League. I coach Little League, so my son is like playing Little League. I'm like, you
got to
put this kid, this dude somewhere in the field.
And hope he doesn't.
And hope, yeah, just hope to the high heavens. You got to run a ship.
You would put him in like deep center maybe, and the other two would cover the whole outfield.
You could, or shallow center.
Or like, yeah, really shallow center maybe.
And he's behind second base. I would... love that. I would lose my mind watching that.
Here's my idea for the Royals. Do you remember a few years ago, and you may not remember, I will look this up. The woman...
Oh, he can look it up. Brandon will look it up. Okay. The woman who got drunk in the fountain at Kauffman
Stadium. Woman who got drunk in the fountain at Kauffman Field. And she went into the fountain out there. She was drunk. She went in the fountain.
And they're like, you got to come out.
The cops are trying to get her. They're like chasing her in the fountain.
It's like a Benny Hill sketch.
She's still holding her. She's got one of those giant drinks with a huge straw.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those things where you're being chased by the cop. You probably need both hands.
And she's just holding on to her. The kind of woman who, like, for the last hour has only said, woo!
Exactly. She's in the fountain.
Oh my god.
In the goddamn fountain. She's holding the drink. She gets in the fountain.
Oh my god.
The cop's like, you can't be there.
Out.
She gets handcuffed.
Get out of the fountain.
Because she's wet, she slides out of the handcuffs. Okay, this is an amazing person. I think we let her get drunk, give her a bat,
and see if
she can stand on second base. And if she hits it out, everyone gets season tickets. Like, look at them trying. Like,
and get her drunk. Like, get her, like,
with her, blackout drunk. You have to
get her blackout drunk. Oh, man, I love it. It's so great. It's just a sad thing.
There we go. Greg Rosenthal, how can people find you on the old twits?
Greg Rosenthal.
Two G's.
Double Z's at
triple
the end.
G's. There are three G's in that, okay? Greg Rosenthal, at Greg Rosenthal. Listen to the podcast. Episode's up now.
Third episode just went up.
Hit that. Believe that.
Check that out with our buddy Anthony Jeselnik.
We'll come
as well.
Do it. Do you have guests on yours or no?
We haven't yet, but it would
be
good.
If you ever decide to do guests, please consider us.
Of course. Especially after you kind of drew the short straw here and got me with you.
Amazing. I'm so happy you're here with us. When we come back, we mentioned Tiger Woods at the top. We're going to talk to Tiger Woods and find out where's his confidence level heading into the Ryder Cup. This is Fireworks. Animal Collective, we are the Sklar Brothers, and this is View from the Cheap Seat. Stay with us. Now it's day, I've been trying to get that taste on my tongue. I was dreaming. All right, everybody, welcome back to View from the Cheap Seats. Fantastic job. I love that guy, and I'm really excited to hear his podcast with Anthony Jeselnik. So follow him, check him out, and, of course, all of his knowledge about the NFL. I love getting deep in the NFL.
Now, we talked about Tiger early on the show. That was our top take, and we can talk to Tiger. That's the beauty of this podcast. We have access to certain people, the inside take. Mm-hmm. Let's give him a buzz and see if we can't reach him.
Hello?
Hey, Tiger! Sklar Brothers here. How are you?
Oh, hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
Yeah. Oh, you sound
a little down. I mean, you just won your first tournament since 2013. Are you reveling? Did you party last night? Talk to us about it.
You know, obviously, I had a, you know, pretty exciting night.
Yeah.
It was pretty outrageous.
What happened?
I really lost control.
Okay. You sound like it.
And now I'm just sort of, you know, kind of getting back from that and recovering, and but other than that, I feel great. Obviously, big win.
Okay,
yeah, huge win.
Listen, when you were married, I don't know what the night of celebration was. Now that you're single,
anything's possible.
A woman showed up. Who was that woman who gave you a huge kiss afterward? Brunette, beautiful woman, comes up and gives you a huge kiss after that. After that,
you know, obviously, I don't like to talk about my personal life.
Sure, sure.
But with you guys, I feel safe.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like my that. Safe word with you guys is birdie.
Okay.
So whenever whenever we get that word out there, I know I'm safe.
Yep.
So birdie. Let me just say thank you. I feel safe now.
Good.
That woman, her name is, Victoria Vines.
Uh-huh.
short for, well, her short for that is Vicky Vines.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. Okay. Sounds a little corny.
She's a wonderful, she's an actress of great caliber.
Oh, okay. All right.
Obviously, she's an adult. So,
adult,
I want to just say.
She does adult films.
You know, look, I'm not going to get too specific. I'm just going to say once again, she's an adult actress.
Okay.
Who is very good at her job. And her job is a job.
Okay.
Like we all have. And whatever she does with herself in that job is her business. But, She definitely opened herself up to me, and I've been receptive.
All right, great. Superb. All right, so you partied afterwards. What did it take for you to get back on top of the golf world? I mean, did you have to, did you talk trash to the Jim Furyks of this world? What happened?
You know, obviously, I'm always having a touch and go with Jim, a back and forth, a yin and yang. you know, I talked to him recently. I said, Jim, let's bury the hatchet, let's bury the wedge, as it were. And you know, we kind of had like a Vagra Vance kind of thing. And so he came out and, you know, he really helped me with my confidence and my composure.
Yeah.
And,
I think it's got composure.
Got me off the cart path basically. So I got to give big props to Jim. I'd also like to thank, if I can, a few other players. You know, I feel like for this win, I stood on the shoulders of pretty much everyone that came before me, Mark Hacabecchia,
sure.
You know, Mark O'Meara, Paul Asicker.
Azinger. God, you're having a hard time with the ends.
Hale Irwin, obviously,
yeah, sure,
big influence.
Sure.
You know, I'm not going to give a shout out to Fuzzy Seller.
I don't think you should have to.
Yeah, but I nod my head in reverence to Seve Ballesteros.
Thank you. Sure. Appreciate that.
Who I really respect.
Sure. We all do. Do you think you are going to win the ESPY for Comeback Athlete of the Year, or do you deserve it?
Well, first of all, you know, I'm not going to call this a comeback. I've been here for years.
Don't call it a comeback.
I've been doing my, you know, my thing, just, you know, throwing down the gauntlet. And so I feel like I just took kind of like, you know, I don't know, maybe a 7-year break, just to kind of get myself back on track. Obviously, a lot of people are talking about Serena.
She had a baby. I mean,
I'm not gonna take that away from her. I mean, obviously,
please don't take her baby away from her. Please,
I'm not gonna take. Yeah, but I do want to say, you know, to me, you know, having a baby, coming back from that, that's more of a life setback than a competitive setback.
Okay.
You know,
yeah,
I don't know if I'd call it a setback.
It
definitely set her career back a little bit. Yes. Yes.
Well, for me, you know, with my surgeries that I've had, you know, I've basically had the equivalent of about 10 kids in my lower lumbar.
Hang on a second.
I don't know about that.
So
hang on a second.
I mean, you guys try the, you know, about 15 slip disc surgeries and see how you feel.
Okay. That makes sense.
Maybe I would say this, instead of a comeback, I'll say I made an incredible recovery from my injuries, and made a great return to what I've always had, which is tremendous athletic talent.
Yep.
Focus, as I said before, Jim Furyk got me back my composure. And I'm always gonna be thankful for that, you know. And I've apologized to Jim personally for some of my dalliances with his wife.
Hey,
yeah, that was not.
That's a hard moment. That's like one of those moments where, like, when they put the green jacket on another guy, that's one thing. But then
you literally put the green jacket on his wife.
That's
well.
Too much.
The tough thing is that, you know, when you get on the tee box and you make your first shot, you know, the momentum's there with a you know, your game or a woman. And I felt like I had to take it all the way home.
Okay.
You know, like I said, some regrets there.
Yep.
sure. We had some good times. I'm not gonna lie. And I did describe those to Jim.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
Well, you know, look,
he doesn't need to lose any more hair.
Really, still having struggles with that. Obviously, Rory McIlroy is not even able to get in the top three, which is pretty sad.
Yeah.
No, he's a lot younger than me.
Yeah.
All right. Final thing. Do you want to any trash talk you want to send to the Europeans for the Ryder Cup?
I know Ryder Cup about to happen. Do you want to say anything to him? Send a message. Speak right down the barrel of this one.
Right. Well, you know, I'm just going to say to the guys out there, the European players, obviously, Sergio Garcia, you know, I got you on my sights. I'm going to hit off the tee. I'm not going to yell four. If it hits you, that's really not my problem.
Yep.
Smart.
As far as I know, the governing rules of the PGA, that's not an infraction. So, you know, I'm just going to go out there and show my emotions like I always do.
Yeah.
Through the ups and downs. And, you know, the Europeans, obviously, they're going towards a socialist society, and I believe in capitalism.
Sure.
And that's why I supported Mr. Trump, and I will continue to do
that. Did you really support Mr. Trump? I doubt that.
All right, okay.
Well, I mean, where I supported him is in, I appreciate his golf courses. I think they're fair. I think they are open to everybody, and I appreciate that part of it.
No, they're not.
And, you know, look, the European players, they have their game, but what we bring over here from America is
Did you just call
it the tiger attitude and the tiger mom?
Did you just call it America? If your mom had a message to the Europeans, I want you to do an impression of your mom. What would it be?
Well, first of all, I'm going to say it's not an impression. It's an homage.
Fine. Do an homage to your mom, Tiger.
Okay. Can I hear Birdie, please?
Birdie.
Thank you. Tiger?
Mm-hmm.
I told you before,
mm-hmm.
when you want to go to another country, another
mm-hmm.
place,
mm-hmm.
you don't ever go to the West,
mm-hmm.
I mean to the East. You mm-hmm. go farther. You mm-hmm. go to Asia, but Europe is a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the socialism is. We okay. don't want that.
Okay.
You got to beat them.
Yeah.
You never, ever, ever give up. If you have to beat them with the club, you do that.
Okay. I don't know why we asked you to do that.
Me either. It's just the wrong call every time.
When I do those homages, that's not necessarily me speaking. It's the teachings of a tiger mom,
okay.
and quite literally. And,
okay.
you know, I bring what I bring, and I leave what I leave.
Okay.
And we'll leave it at that.
Tiger,
thank you,
good luck in the Ryder Cup, and congratulations on your first victory in a long time.
Thank you so much. And Vicky, if you're out there listening, I really enjoyed everything that happened on that championship.
I love that
day.
This is the only way he can communicate with her. All right.
In the night. So let's try that again at the ride of her cup.
All right. Stop it. All right. Bye, Tiger.
Oh my God.
Tiger Woods. That's a show, my friends.
That is a show. This is the next song I'm gonna do.
This is your next karaoke song.
I might do that. I might pull this out in the karaoke.
He was a dad at my school.
May he
Tiger
rest
Woods?
In peace.
No.
Oh.
Scott Weiland.
May Tiger Woods rest in peace. I don't want him to die. I just want him to get a good night's sleep. For Christ's sake.
I have little kids. I know how hard it is.
That is a show. Guys, next week we'll be in Denver. We'll be in Boulder, Colorado at the Dairy Arts Center on Wednesday night. That's the 3rd.
New Punch Waterfall t-shirts.
Out. We'll bring them for us.
They're dope.
They're so cool. Thursday through Saturday, we are at the Great Comedy Works in downtown Larimer Square in Denver. It's one of our favorite clubs, if not our favorite club in the country. Please come out and see us. Those shows are going to be insane. Punch Waterfalls will be back next week. We are out. Time to take her home. Her daisy head is gone. It's a good show.